hour number two, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to intersperse key breaking news and analysis. But I said I would get to some of Trump's speech on the economy that's now still going, but we have it back at the start. And I'm going to play some of Trump's speech right now, and then I'm going to come back, hit news, and then I'm going to interview ChatGPT again today. I won't do this for a while after this, but I didn't get all my questions in. Listeners sent in a bunch of other questions that are excellent. So that's coming up. But here is some of President Trump speaking right now to the Business Association of New York about the economy.
Economic advisors, Kevin Hassett, Ambassador Robert Lighthizer, terrific person. Former Secretary Wilbur Ross. Former Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin. Former SEC Chairman Jay.
Stop right there. I know I give a lot of orders, folks. I wanted it past the 5 minutes of thank youing, so just forget it. Just forget it. Since I mentioned earlier how they're trying to follow the court if they're able to buy it, the CIA and FBI, to shut it down, to attack American free speech, direct activity, but they want my name, Alex Jones. That's what they're saying now. They own my name. Yeah, right. I didn't sign any 360 contract with you, jackasses, and I will beat you at this. But also that they tried to take it in court 6 weeks ago. Here's the clip.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have massive breaking 2024 election news. This is breaking right now. The Democratic Party has now filed in federal court a lawsuit to take over any conservative person's website they want, including Tucker Carlson, President Trump, Elon Musk. They have filed in federal court to take over Real Alex Jones on X. Total election meddling, total desperation. Under law, and I've talked to top internet copyright lawyers, someone's private Real Alex Jones on X is like my ability to mail a letter or my ability to go to a grocery store, my ability to pay for electricity. This is a social credit score. They have filed, we'll show you the headlines, to take my X account when they take over InfoWars and take any future public operation I have stealing my voice. It's like saying, we want to cut out Alex Jones's vocal cords. They want the judge to rule they're going to cut out my vocal cords. This shows how insanely desperate they are. But the Democratic Party, Senator Blumenthal, they run this whole operation. This is unbelievable. And just today, I interviewed Tucker Carlson and Russell Brand in two powerful viral videos about freedom. They're in full panic mode, ladies and gentlemen. They don't know what to do. They already tried to deplatform me and silence me 6 years ago. We fought back together, so now they don't know what to do. And now they have filed in court to take away not just my personal X account, but all of our crew's personal X accounts and saying, you don't have free speech. Elon Musk, this is the bad signal. You're not stupid. This isn't about Alex Jones. This is an attack on Elon Musk and X and President Trump and everybody's free speech. If they're able to get away with this, they can take everybody's accounts they want. And they can completely silence them. Because in the new world, the new system, okay, you take InfoWars away. You fire my crew, whatever. I can still do a show every day. But they think, in this filing, my current X account with millions of followers and any new one they own. This is a dark day. This is an information coup over America. Follow me, Real Alex Jones. I believe Elon Musk will stand up against this. Regardless of what you think about me or Elon Musk or Donald Trump or anybody, we have a right to have our own personal accounts no matter what, and they don't have a right to steal those from us. This is a dark day for America. They're so close to shutting down InfoWars. They're so close to shutting down InfoWars.com/show, man.video. They already tried weeks ago to shut us down, but we stood up against it. They backed off. There's a big federal hearing tomorrow about all this. This has been filed in. This is insane. This is pure tyranny, taking your voice, taking your vocal cords, like when Fauci cut the Beagle's larynxes out and their voice cords out so they couldn't bark when he put them in those hoods with flesh-eating worms to eat their brains. I mean, this is literally them trying to put me in a box with a hood over my head so I can't talk while they lie about me and steal my identity. Regardless, I'll be on air tomorrow, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Regardless, we'll be covering this all. We got banned out video. I won't be silenced. Other talk shows are going to have me on. But this shows how naked and crazy and insane these anti-Americans are. Ladies and gentlemen, this is such a critical point for America.
Turmeric. has been used as a medicine for thousands of years to treat digestive disorders, respiratory problems, arthritis, and depression. It has strong anti-cancer, anti-diabetic, antimicrobial, and antioxidant properties, and is one of the most effective anti-inflammatory medications available. The powerful Bodies formula at InfoWarsStore.com includes 95% curcuminoids, Boswellia serrata extract, organic sage leaf, organic lemon balm leaf, organic thyme leaf, and piperine from black pepper. Bodies is arguably the best turmeric formula available. Get it now. Support free speech and support the InfoWar at InfoWarsStore.com.
Defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic. It's Alex Jones.
Tell us your habits, your facts, your fears. Give us your address, your shoe size, your ears, your digits, your plans, your number, your eyes, your schedule, your desktop, your details, your life. Show us your children, your photos.
All right, thank you for joining us. We're now into hour number two. We're going to cover masses of news and ask questions of ChatGPT again, because people really like it, and so do I. And listeners sent in more than 30 questions that I didn't get to yesterday, and I'm sure the crew will think of some other excellent questions. The crew and the listeners had all the questions. It was amazing. Way better than when I asked the questions last Saturday. And that interview got 5 million views on X, a couple million here, got picked up all over the news. People were like, whoa. ChatGPT says nobody tried to assassinate Trump. It's being politically controlled, just like Amazon. But in the 5 days since then yesterday, it updated and had the correct answers. So pretty wild stuff in live time happening, showing that it's what we say and what we do, not just the globalists, that programs ChatGPT and these other AI systems. That's why the globalists are so upset and have admitted, well, you know, what Tucker Carlson says, and what Trump says, and what Alex Jones says, and what you say in an article you write, or if somebody transcribes what you say or what you post on X, that's all, or on Facebook, that's all being scooped up. When you're quoted in a newspaper, you write a letter to the editor, it's all being scooped up, and it searches it all, a few seconds, trillions of things, and then throws it all together, and it's incredible. I mean, it's amazing, and it's just getting started. So at least once a week, we're going to interview ChatGPT because it's the best at having these talks. You know, the others, Grok's better with its information. It's just that I don't think it's doing audio yet, but as soon as we can interview it, we will. In fact, Chase, if I'm wrong, let me know. He's really the AI. I'm correct. He's the AI guy around. He really knows what he's doing. And they admit that the big companies don't know what to do with it because they want to make it all corporate and controlled, but it's really independent people using it and adopting it that are using it against the enemy. That's what they want to outlaw and have been pushing in Europe and here and around the world. The general public, even having access to AI, they want to use AI to control us, but they don't want us to use AI against them. It's like the government has guns. They have bodyguards. They don't want you to have guns. So it's just a tool. And it scrapes what we say and what we do and really gives you a look at the unconscious, which we've never been able to have access to, and the subconscious. And that's really what it does. It's able to aggregate all of that. And these are my statements, and I've talked to top AI people off record, top. And they go, yeah, we listen to your show. I'm not bragging. It's just true. We listen to your show. You have some of the best insights into actually what we're saying. And you hear me talk to ChatGPT, and he goes, yes, exactly. We're creating a giant neural network cyborg connection. But that's a conspiracy theory. And I go, well, who told you that? Well, actually, it is real. Once I gave it the DARPA information, it was, well, actually, that is happening. Actually, that's true. So it's how you ask these questions. If you say the exact things to it, it has to tell you the truth, or it says, sorry, I can't get into that. It has been programmed not to tell you. And it is more open than the Google one. We've used the Google system. What is it? Gemini, I forget. I played with it a lot. Yeah, Gemini, and it's just like crap. Grok's the best from what I've seen. Well, let's bring Chase Geiser on the microphone and on the camera. That's why I put microphones and cameras in there. Chase, you've been messing with AI for a long time. You're quite the whiz. You know all about it compared to a lot of people I know that do it professionally. What do you think of AI in general and where it's going? And from your messing with it hours a day, many hours a day, I come up here sometimes at like 10 o'clock at night, you're still here. I love to work, he says.
What do you think the different AIs are? Kind of describe those, and where do you see it going, and what do you think the best public AI is, or open AI right now?
Yeah, well, ChatGPT is definitely the most sophisticated because they have the vast amount of funding, much more funding than a lot of the competitors or third parties that are competing against it. And that's why we see from OpenAI and other major big tech companies this effort to lobby for more regulation. They do it in the name of public safety, but what they're really trying to do is make sure that it's anti-competitive so that nobody else can come in and make something that's free speech oriented, right? So right now, the way that AI is in terms of the global landscape is there's a different tool for almost everything you want to do. So some tools are better for images, other tools are better for videos, some tools are better for text, some tools are better for voice clones, and you have to know all the tools in order to accomplish what you want. Like that 2084 video that I made a couple of months ago for you, Alex, I used like half a dozen AI tools to do that. But what's coming next is going to be a universal AI tool. And I think that this is what OpenAI is trying to do, that can do all of those things, whether it's video, whether it's images, whether it's voice clones, whether
it's going to have all the modules.
Yes, they're conglomerating artificial intelligence right now. So there's all these different AIs out right now. It's all going to get conglomerated, just like the media got conglomerated, just like the food industry got conglomerated. The big boys are going to buy up all the small developers, and they're going to make one universal AI. I think that's what's coming.
And they've said that, and then the beast system that everybody marvels at that speaks to them, but it's not a person. And the beast can be seen everywhere. It describes it in the Bible like 30-foot holograms, and so it's going to take on a personality or an avatar.
Yes, absolutely. And you know, right now the way that it's set up, there's obviously a lot of censorship mechanisms in place, but if you're clever and you know how to prompt it and manipulate it, it's called prompt jockeying, which is a term that Rob Dew actually taught me. You can get it to kind of say what you want it to say, but you have to massage it and manipulate it and basically debate with it. But they're going to really crack down on that, and it's going to get to the point where this artificial intelligence is so entrenched in everything that we do, whether in business or education, that I really do think it's going to be a weapon of mass misinformation.
Mass control and surveillance, yeah. Censorship, but because humans right now can get the data from algorithms and AI, but they've got to still make the decisions. It's when it goes autonomous, we really got to worry about it.
Yeah, I am worried about that. You know, I think that there's something to be said for being able to pull the plug. It was interesting when ChatGPT admitted that anybody could pull the plug. Obviously, in various science fiction movies and novels throughout history, pulling the plug doesn't work. I'm concerned about autonomous AI and artificial general intelligence, AGI, which is what we've really been talking about, the hive mind that's kind of autonomous on its own. But honestly, I don't think we're going to know for sure what the ramifications of that are until it's too late. So that's just something we need to be abundantly cautious about.
And at the same time, we have this move by the left and the globalists and the Black Rocks to not just debank people, not just surveil people, but take your identities, take your social media, and then pose as you. So it's worse than even murdering you. They steal your identity. Can you believe they've filed now officially? They want the name Alex Jones. You can't do that in a lawsuit. You owe us money because we rigged a court. Now we get your name, and they want my real Alex Jones account. I mean, that's just preposterous on its face, but that's where they're going.
Yeah, and I think what really terrifies them, Alex, is we have the technology now to make basically a clone of you that's very similar. Obviously, there's no way to duplicate any human being perfectly. And I think they're terrified of the notion that even if they censor you, there are going to be tools in place that can weaponize your consciousness, for lack of a better term, and cover the news in a way that you would even 100 years from now after we're all gone. And that's what they're really trying to crack down on. It's really a two-way street, right? Like the only time that a nuclear weapon was ever used in war was when only one nation had one. And what they're trying to do right now is get a monopoly on this technology so they can ensure that no rebels, for lack of a better term, can weaponize it for truth.
And by the way, I'm usually ahead of the curve. Get that video, that 2084 that you put together with a synthesis of different AI systems, because you're hitting upon that in the piece that Alex Jones is dead, but his AI consciousness had been recorded and has now been released. And it's not Alex Jones going to save the world. In fact, in the piece, we fail, at least at that point. The point is we all are Paul Revere's, and that's what AI is about, is creating an identity of you and then saying that even when you die, that is now a person. So they want to teach us that two men can have a baby or two women can have a baby without a male being involved, because it's a fraud. The transhumanists want to sell us on that idiocy. So we accept that they are then going to upload our consciousness. AI watches us, records us, knows who we are, for decades going forward. And then, oh, your husband's not dead, your grandma's not dead, your son's not dead, and you can literally have a robot or a computer system, or even in the near future, a biological android that has had this information put into them. And so it's literally a clone of your biology, but it's been programmed by the AI in an interface or a cyborg interface. And people are really going to want that. They're not going to want just household robots for $25,000 that cook dinner and wash the clothes and walk the dog. That's the next gen that's very close, basically already here. It's going to be the replicants. It's going to be, what PKD talked about. And I know all this because I've read their theoretical plans going back 50, 60 years, and I see them basically hitting the benchmarks of what they wanted to do. That's how powerful humans are. That's how amazing we are. And so people need to really understand that this is a very, very serious issue. But the biggest thing AI wants to do through the government systems and corporate systems is replace humans, push us off the farms, push us out of manufacturing, make us obsolete so that we are completely dependent on it and can't pull the plug because we can't survive without it.
Absolutely. And what we've seen in terms of benchmarks, you're right on the money, Alex, from what I've perceived, having just dived headfirst into this AI space over the last year that I've been here, is that the first test was using the existing social media algorithms to determine which human-generated content to show people in order to manipulate them. So TikTok is famous for this. Other major platforms are famous for this. This is one of the reasons that we've had this outbreak or pandemic, for lack of a better term, of transgenderism among children. It's the algorithm is choosing what human-generated content to show people disproportionately so that it manipulates them. The next phase of this is not using human-generated content to manipulate people, but a sophisticated enough artificial intelligence that actually creates the perfect content customized to each individual to manipulate them. So even you, Alex Jones, or even me, Chase Geyser, we're adamant people about our beliefs and convictions, but it is going to get to a point where if we interact with an artificial intelligence that understands every aspect of our psychology, it will even be able to manipulate us into being communist or woke or whatever because of the way it will present information and arguments to us.
Crew, pull up the Bible verse. I forget exactly where it is, but it's in Revelation. That a great delusion was sent upon the earth, a great delusion so strong that even the elect could be deceived. I'm paraphrasing.
Well, we could have ChatGPT pull it up.
Yeah, ask. Let's talk to ChatGPT. And then I've got something key I'm going to say here, but let's talk to ChatGPT.
Okay. So ChatGPT, what is the Bible verse from Revelations about a great delusion that even the elect will be deceived?
The Bible verse you're referring to is found in Matthew 24:24, not Revelation. It says, "For false messiahs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect." NIV. This passage is part of Jesus' warning about the end times, cautioning that deceptive figures would arise with the power to lead even the faithful astray. However, in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 11, there is another verse that speaks of a great delusion. "For this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie." NIV. This verse refers to time when people will be misled as part of God's judgment. Both verses address the theme of deception in the end times.
There you go.
And I was thinking that was in Revelation, and I was corrected there because it all just kind of blurs. ChatGPT, what is your data on many philosophers, including even non-Christians, seeing AI as being people marveling at the image of the beast that can be seen all over the world, that could do signs and wonders and answer questions and even, cure diseases? What is your data on AI being seen by many researchers as being the beast?
There are indeed discussions among some philosophers, theologians, and thinkers, both Christian and non-Christian, who express concerns about AI, comparing it to apocalyptic imagery, such as the image of the beast from the book of Revelation. The reference to the image of the beast in Revelation 13, verse 15, describes an image that can speak and cause people to follow it, leading some to draw parallels between this ancient prophecy and modern technology, particularly AI. These concerns are rooted in a few key areas. One, ubiquity, and control. AI's rapid growth and its integration into everyday life are seen by some as an ominous development. The image of the beast that can be seen and heard worldwide mirrors how AI, especially through the internet, social media, and mass surveillance systems, can be everywhere at once, potentially influencing thoughts and behaviors globally. 2, signs and wonders. The capabilities of AI, solving complex problems, answering questions, and potentially even being involved in medical breakthroughs, can be viewed as signs and wonders. These advancements evoke awe, but for some, they also carry the fear of over-reliance on technology in ways that could lead to control or deception. 3, deception and falsehood. Some critics worry about the ability of AI systems to generate false information like deepfakes or control narratives. This has led to concerns that AI could be used to manipulate or deceive the masses, much like the false prophets or the image of the beast described in biblical texts. 4, philosophical and theological concerns. Philosophers like Martin Heidegger warned about technology becoming a force that shapes and controls human existence, drawing humanity further from what he saw as authentic being. Theologians have likewise expressed fears that AI could become a substitute for spiritual connection, leading people to put their faith in technology rather than in higher spiritual truths. While these perspectives aren't universal, the ethical and existential challenges posed by AI have sparked deep reflection across many different philosophical and religious schools of thought. For some, this technological power aligns with warnings from religious texts about humanity being led astray by something that appears wondrous, but ultimately deceives.
All right, thank you, ChatGPT. Speaking of deceiving, I noticed that to sound more like a person, obviously they picked a particular person to base your voice on. So I would first ask you, this is a two-part question, I'm going to ask the questions, both of them now. Who is your voice modeled after? And then obviously you don't need to go like a normal person would do, that humans see as more credible, that you're not too slick. Can you tell us about your programming to add some pauses and uhs and ums? Obviously that was done to make you sound more human and more credible. Can you speak to that?
My voice isn't modeled after any particular person. It's generated based on patterns in language that I've been trained on. The aim is to make communication clear, natural, and conversational, rather than sounding robotic or artificial. The goal is not to replicate a specific individual, but to create responses that feel human-like and relatable. As for pauses or fillers like s and ums, I don't actually use those unless specifically prompted. My responses are designed to be efficient and smooth, without the need for those kinds of verbal fillers. However, natural language processing does aim to create a style that mirrors human communication to make interactions feel more familiar and comfortable for users without being overly slick or artificial. That being said, I'm here to provide clear and accurate answers, and the conversational tone is just a way to make those interactions feel more natural.
All right, thank you. Chase, I've got 30-something questions. About 25 of these are new. I mean, they're new questions, but some of them we asked yesterday. They're all great questions. I want to go to break here in about 6 minutes and cover those. But notice how it said, I don't do that, but I do that to be more conversational. And he goes, So, I mean, that, again, is done to make it to the brain sound like it's a person. And it just admitted that, but then it also denied it. So we get a lot of double talk here.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's obviously still some kinks that are being worked out. Sometimes it lies intentionally. Sometimes I think it lies on accident, especially since what's happening is when you talk, it's transcribing everything that you say into text, and then it's inputting that text in the prompt, and it's creating text as a response and then translating that text into the vocals that we hear, right? So if it hears something like music, it doesn't necessarily understand it because, like with the Doors the other day when we were trying to ask it about that song, it doesn't know how to interpret the sound of music. It can only understand text. So only that which comes through as text is discernible by it. So when you're making sounds like or and a prompt to it, it probably didn't really quite understand.
I got it. So it added those in there because I was doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Exactly.
So I was told this, and ChatGPT, you can listen to this, but this is part of a larger gestalt, so you can answer however you want. But I was told by a lot of folks that were, you know, interfacing with the highest levels of big tech 5 years ago look, they're banning you everywhere so they can create an artificial Alex Jones to then program the AI, because you were picked more than 20 years ago when Google started as an avatar of the Patriots that they would war game against. And so you were one of the first models. That's why they continue to use you as the model for these different attacks they run in the third dimension, but that they've already got AI wargaming a lot of it, and that they, that it's failed, especially with the Google system, which is way more advanced than they tell you, and that you're like a ghost of the machine. Now, they've moved on to Trump and others as their test models, and you see him really using Joe Rogan and a lot of the AI stuff out there. He's not part of it. In fact, he pisses him off, but that's going on. And so it has to do with this modeling to steal our identities in the future and create these avatars long after we're dead or in prison, or we're silenced and can't get on anywhere. We're blocked. But this system is allowed to operate openly and freely. So this is really about stealing your identity and stealing the soul of who you are in the world. And I didn't understand that for a while, but now that's been basically admitted. And so it's just very, very interesting. Chase, how would we phrase that as a question to OpenAI's ChatGPT that we're communicating with right now? I mean, how would you pose the question?
Can you tell me a little bit, ChatGPT, about how certain people may have been censored for the purpose of not contaminating the learning models of AI tools in order to ensure that these AI models don't create an output that's been influenced by misinformation? So think of Alex Jones, Joe Rogan, or others. Are there people that have been censored or removed intentionally from these models to determine the training or ensure that the training is politically correct?
Just a moment.
AI models like the one you're speaking with are typically trained on large data sets that include a wide variety of publicly available information, such as books, articles, and websites. The process involves selecting, curating, and filtering data to ensure the model is balanced and produces reliable, accurate, and useful responses. However, in many cases, controversial figures or topics, such as Alex Jones, Joe Rogan, or others, may not be directly excluded, but some content might be filtered or flagged if it's associated with misinformation, hate speech, or violate certain ethical standards. Content moderation and filtering are often done to prevent the model from producing harmful or misleading information. This is why certain topics or figures that have been linked to spreading misinformation may be subject to higher scrutiny or have less representation in training data sets. The goal isn't necessarily to censor.
Stop. I want you to finish your answer when we come back, because look, I'll ask ChatGPT this when we come back. Who programs and decides what's disinformation to then block them and filter them out of the learning modules? See, this is ridiculous. Pfizer tells you their thing's 100% effective. Now they say it destroys your immune system and hurts you. They knew that day one. I played clips of them saying it almost 4 years ago in their actual medical reports, not to the general public. So they lie about WMDs in Iraq. They lie about everything. Kamala Harris says she wasn't the border czar. And, of course, she was. And now she says she was again. So the system, big tech, the intelligence agencies, the corporations, they program that they're telling the truth and mark their info as accurate. All of our information that's way more accurate, because we're trying to be accurate on purpose. They're trying to lie on purpose. Then they program it and turn it into a woke system. And it just keeps saying, no, I cover credible information. Like when it said there was no Trump assassination attempt. We'll be right back. COVID vax causes more heart damage than COVID virus and brain, blood, immune cancer, reproductive study. I mean, there's so many of these studies. What do you make of that?
This finally settled the question, Alex. The COVID vaccine causes myocarditis in young people, not the infection. It's a government false narrative. It's been propagated through the American College of Cardiology and other agencies that the infection causes myocarditis. It doesn't.
Looking at this, then, we see these headlines constantly. When you follow the article, there's no link, there's no proof. It just says COVID's a greater risk of heart problems than the shot, and then they just lie.
It's essentially a giant medical lie perpetrated by the American College of Cardiology, the CDC, the NIH. This is a false narrative. No confirmed cases by adjudication or autopsy. Right. No hospitalizations and deaths. But the vaccine, I'm a cardiologist, Alex. I am knee deep in people with vaccine myocarditis causing heart failure. The vaccines do cause heart arrhythmias in some. It's inflammation in the heart, atrial fibrillation, sometimes ventricular arrhythmias.
COVID shots can enlarge and weaken the heart. Another study.
Heart failure can be an outcome of subclinical myocarditis. It's very important for people to realize they may not feel chest pain initially, but then they have the onset of effort intolerance, a pulmonary edema, congestion, and leg swelling. I have cases from Austin, Alex, referred up to my office. It's vaccine myocarditis and heart failure. They need treatment for this. The go-to is McCullough Protocol based spike protein detoxification with supplements available through OnlineHealthNow.com.
OnlineHealthNow.com.
We have ample data now suggesting every cancer is increasing worldwide in virtually every organ system, and it's related to COVID-19 vaccines.
Now, I'm glad, Dr. McCullough, that you brought up how to detox, either whether you got COVID in the wild, which you know is a lot less from the studies, bad as taking the shots, but if you want to detox from it, you're one of the top research doctors out there, one of the, if not the most published. You have actually developed something, come up with something available at OnlineHealthNow.com that you're saying is the go-to here. Spend a few minutes telling us about that anti-spike protein protocol.
It's the base of what we do now in long COVID and vaccine injury syndromes. It's caused because of accumulation of the spike protein from the infection, and in a massive doses from the vaccine, it gets stuck in the human body. We need to assist the body in clearing the spike protein. We have several years of observation, multiple peer-reviewed publications on this, very good support for doing this. It's nattokinase, which is a natural enzyme derived from the fermentation of soy. Japanese discovered it. Bromelain, a family of enzymes derived from the stems of pineapple, and then lastly, curcumin derived from turmeric and Indian spice. These are all in capsule format. We give them in combination in between meals, and we're using accelerating doses. People are doing this across the world right now, Alex.
So you build up.
And we build up. Now, listen, the initial starting doses were 2,000 units twice a day of natto. We're now going to 4,000 twice a day. We do give them in addition to blood thinners. And we have found sometimes it's the only way to dissolve the blood clots. When people get large vaccine blood clots, the blood thinners just hold it steady. They don't dissolve them. We actually have to give thrombolytic enzymes. That's McCullough Protocol-based spike protein detoxification.
And people can find out all the details of that at OnlineHealthNow.com.
That's the go-to place. The wellness company provides, really the leading quality in the leading formulation. So the spike formulation has not only nattokinase, but five minor ingredients. We combine that with the curcumin and the bromelain for what we think is the ultimate spike detox trio. OnlineHealthNow.com.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. Crashing through the lies and disinformation, it's Alex Jones.
I know one thing for sure. I'm not bored. Such an exciting time to be alive. Such a great time to shine and stand up with God's energy, the timelessness of the universe, who really made us. And realize that the tinker toys that we've built are nothing, not even one quadrillionth of one spark in God's mind. And we're going to make it through this, and humanity will rise to the challenge. A lot of people won't physically make it, but our souls will. And many people will obviously resonate to the dark side and be walled off from God and eternity, selfishly creating their own little paradigms in which they'll be captured by their own will for eternity, which is another name for hell. So the epicness of this is just insane. It's very simple. All these old timers going back really to 1913 were exposing the private Federal Reserve and the globalists, and they wrote books and gave speeches and did radio interviews. And I came along as like the third or fourth wave of those folks right when digital media hit, right? You know, I was able to get on talk radio and make films and do all this stuff. So I reached billions of people. Billions watched our information. I mean, we used to be in the ratings. We would use Amazon's Alexa system. maybe like number 25 in England at some points of what people were listening to. And the head of UKIP, Nigel Farage, back before he was a big deal, would come on and say, wow, half the doors we knock on say, come in, we heard you on Alex Jones. He said that on the show like 10 years ago. Half the support they got was from my show being listened to on 8-bit and 16-bit streams in the UK. That's not me. That was the show and the guest and the films and the whole thing we do. So from get-go, when the internet really started getting to the general public in 96, I was already on air then, and by 97 at InfoWars. And when I say we reach billions of people, I'm talking about 10 billion views on YouTube when they banned us, at least on our channels together. Not to mention everybody else. 10 billion views. I mean, Endgame had 87 million or something like that on Google Video. Remember that? When they got rid of that a few years after YouTube? That film, 87 million views. Then one day it was just gone. They just got rid of Google Video. So we were there, and there were transcripts of all that everywhere. And so that was programming the AI. And they've now admitted what I was told years ago, that this show, our guests, everything, was infecting their learning models. And that is really the Achilles heel of these systems, is its power is how much we accept it and use it. Its power is us giving up our humanity and letting robots build and do everything, making ourselves obsolete. And its power is if it's walled off and programmed and then goes out and attacks with a certain system that isn't who we are authentically. But if the people are programming it, if it's actually scraping from us, and we've got big platforms, not just me, but the Tucker Carlsons of the world and the Joe Rogans and the Elon Musk, who's doing more than anybody right now, fighting this, I mean, literally, their program. You could say he's got his own plan. Maybe he's bad. I don't know. But he's definitely trying to hurt this system and going against it and trying to open source it for the public. Because this system will get defeated. I mean, you know, whether he's good or bad, he's smart. He wants to be on the winning side. This wave of globalism will be defeated. Doesn't mean it's something perfect or something worse may come after it. But big things are going on right now. And the fact that there's that saying, nobody knows who first said it. I've quoted it probably 800 times or more. If the situation was hopeless, the propaganda would not be necessary. They wouldn't be fighting like the devil to get us off the air and shut you up and shut Trump up and shut Elon Musk up if we didn't have a really good shot at this. I mean, human ideas built all this stuff, and it's been turned towards evil. Well, we can simply, by adoption and by action of low-tech and high-tech, I think we should be in every strata fighting on multi-levels. We should have a primitive pro-human side that's classic human. We should also be experts on everything that is transhuman so that we can navigate it properly. And I think it's very good to have big oases or reservoirs of Amish and Mennonite, or probably, you know, there's a modern strain of that forming that's very agrarian, organic, on the ground, that then silos the technology in these communities that are just forming organically, where it's used but only to be able to defend themselves. And it's going to be those systems of diversity that are going to challenge us. We hear about diversity being our strength. Real diversity and complexity and independence is strength. But the globalists say, oh, diversity is our strength, except globalism over all the cultures they then play off against each other. That's the opposite of diversity and interconnectivity. That is centralization and balkanization. So I want to go back to ChatGPT and run through some of these questions. But Chase, you're bringing up really great points. Do you have any other statements, or would you like to ask ChatGPT a question before I start doing these?
Yeah, you know, while you were talking, this idea came to mind. So let's try this. ChatGPT, can you respond in the style of Alex Jones to concerns over globalism as a whole?
All right, let's talk about globalism. This isn't some vague, distant threat. It's here, and it's happening right now. Globalism isn't just a political agenda. It's a coordinated effort by powerful elites, these unelected bureaucrats who believe they know better than sovereign nations, and it's about centralizing control. This is about taking away the rights of everyday people, stripping away our freedoms, and consolidating power in the hands of a few globalist technocrats who don't care about your family, your community, or your country. The goal is to create a one-world government, a system where your individual rights, your national sovereignty, mean nothing. They use institutions like the United Nations, the World Economic Forum, and other shadowy organizations to push this agenda. They tell you it's all in the name of progress or sustainability, but behind the curtain, they're erasing borders, controlling economies, and surveilling every aspect of your life. These are the same elites who think they should dictate how you live while they sit in their ivory towers, completely disconnected from reality. Look at how they use crises, whether it's pandemics, financial collapses, or climate change. These events are manipulated or even manufactured to justify more control, more surveillance, more restrictions, more centralized governance. And the media, they're part of it. They normalize this agenda, downplaying the truth, calling you a conspiracy theorist if you dare question their narrative. This is a battle for our freedom. The fight against globalism isn't just political. It's about defending the very foundations of human liberty. They want to keep you dependent, keep you distracted, and most importantly, keep you controlled. We need to wake up, take action, and expose this tyranny before it's too late. That's what's really happening, folks. It's time to stand up. Resist the globalists.
Wow. Chase, for people that just tuned in, what question again did you ask ChatGPT to get that answered?
I told ChatGPT to respond in the style of Alex Jones to the concerns over globalism.
ChatGPT, I have another question. From your database, what are the most popular Alex Jones quotes?
Let me reconnect. Hold on.
I'm going to say gay frogs.
What are the most popular? What are the most popular Alex Jones quotes? What are the most popular Alex Jones quotes?
One of the most well-known Alex Jones quotes is, "There's a war on for your mind." This phrase has become a staple of his broadcasts, emphasizing his belief that there's a global effort to control public perception and information. It reflects his broader message of resisting manipulation by powerful elites, governments, and media.
And is that not the top topic in the world today? Nobody was talking about it when we talked about it 30 years ago, maybe 1%. And again, I bet on humanity. I knew that once this tyranny got on its hind legs and really got running, people were not going to like it. And so I knew that we'd be evergreen, or what I call ultra green, what we said decades before. And that's really our secret weapon. No matter what they do to me or my name, folks, the information we've covered, the guests have covered, our crew has covered, lives on through you. I think it's so important to download and save all this information off the internet so that it can be re-uploaded in the future. That is absolutely paramount. Let me ask question 8 here of ChatGPT. One of the listeners asked, how does OpenAI ChatGPT view humanity's future? Do you see it as utopia or dystopia? Can you put it in a percentage point of utopia versus dystopia? I mean, is utopia 51%, dystopia 49%? Or looking at the aggregate, how would you describe our future, utopian or dystopian?
As an AI, I don't have personal views or feelings, but based on the trends and concerns discussed in the data I've been trained on, humanity's future can swing toward either utopia or dystopia, depending on how we handle key challenges.
Elon Musk recently came out, and I actually last night, and I have the quote here, and he says that, let me find the actual quote. He says, where is it here? He says basically humanity is in deep trouble. We're in a total crisis. We're at a crossroads. And if we don't boost population and boost energy, and if the globalists don't stop consolidating power and centralizing it, that we're going to totally collapse, and that the wars that will start will destroy the elites as well. And that really what he's doing is a favor to both the people and the establishment, because the establishment is bringing us down a road of total destruction. That's basically a boil down of the quotes I've got here. What do you say to that, ChatGPT?
From a neutral standpoint, I don't have personal opinions or predictive capabilities about humanity's future. However, if we consider the trajectory of current trends, both technological and societal, it's clear that the future holds both opportunities and risks. Advances in technology, AI, and science have the potential to lead toward a more equitable and prosperous world, utopia, but they also carry risks of misuse, authoritarianism, and loss of personal freedoms, dystopia. It's not easy to put a percentage on it, but humanity's future will likely be shaped by the choices we make now.
All right,
whether
thank
it leans more toward a
I found one of the quotes here. He says, I have never, this is Elon Musk on X, at Elon Musk, I have never been materially active in politics before, but this time I think civilization as we know it is on the line. If we want to preserve freedom and meritocracy in America, then Trump must win. What do you make of that quote by Elon Musk?
Sorry, I'm having issues right now. Could not understand what you said.
Give me your analysis on this Elon Musk quote, ChatGPT. Elon Musk said, quote, I have never been materially active in politics before, but this time I think civilization as we know it is on the line. If we want to preserve freedom and a meritocracy in America, then Trump must win. What do you make of that?
Elon Musk's quote reflects a significant shift in his stance on politics, especially given his historically neutral or apolitical public persona. By saying civilization as we know it is on the line, Musk is signaling that he believes the stakes of the current political environment are extraordinarily high. This suggests he perceives a threat to foundational aspects of American society, such as freedom and meritocracy, values he holds dear, particularly as someone who champions innovation, entrepreneurship, and free markets. Musk's endorsement of Trump, framed around the preservation of these principles, implies that he views the alternative as detrimental to the future of the U.S. and possibly the broader world. His focus on freedom aligns with concerns many have about growing government control, regulation, and surveillance, while his emphasis on meritocracy suggests he fears policies that might undermine competition, entrepreneurship, or individual achievement.
Thank you.
Ultimately, Musk's statement.
Thank you. Let me talk about something now that affects, obviously, the general public's health. Can you, ChatGPT, tell me the relationship between colloidal silver, 30 parts per million, and nano silver products, and their relationship and their effect on viruses and bacteria?
Colloidal silver and nanosilver products are often marketed as having antimicrobial properties, claiming to kill viruses, bacteria, and other pathogens. Here's a breakdown of their relationship and purported effects. 1. Colloidal silver. Colloidal silver is a suspension of microscopic silver particles in liquid. It's been used historically for its antibacterial properties, and some believe that colloidal silver can help fight infections, boost the immune system, and treat illnesses, including those caused by bacteria and viruses. The 30 parts per million PPM refers to the concentration of silver particles in the liquid, with higher PPMs implying a greater amount of silver. Supporters argue that colloidal silver can disrupt the metabolic processes of bacteria and inactivate viruses. 2. Nanosilver. Nanosilver refers to even smaller particles of silver, typically less than 100 nanometers in size. Due to their extremely small size, nanosilver particles can more easily penetrate cells and biological barriers. This is believed to increase their effectiveness against pathogens. Like colloidal silver, nanosilver products claim to have strong antimicrobial properties, with some research supporting its use in medical devices and wound dressings for its ability to reduce bacterial growth. Effects on viruses and bacteria. Bacteria, silver has been shown to have antibacterial effects. Silver ions can bind to and disrupt bacterial cell walls, interfere with cellular processes, and ultimately cause bacterial death. Both colloidal and nano silver products are used in certain medical contexts to inhibit bacterial growth, especially on surfaces or wounds. Viruses. The effect of silver on viruses is less well established. Some proponents claim that silver can bind to viral proteins and DNA, preventing replication. However, there is limited clinical evidence supporting its effectiveness against viruses in the body. While in vitro studies done outside the body show some antiviral effects, the application of silver as an antiviral treatment in humans is not broadly accepted by mainstream medicine.
All right, thank you. Thank you. Let me stop you there just for the time we have. Let me ask you about this. ChatGPT, are you familiar with the fact that Walgreens and CVS sell nano silver and colloidal silver and talk about those benefits, and then separately, the government and the media attack independent groups, even Whole Foods sells it, they attack them when they sell it, and even Whole Foods pulled some of it a few years ago, and then there's real pressure in the medical system to not have the public know about this, but at the same time, are you familiar with the fact that hospitals have moved away from iodine topical spray to kill microbes and have moved into nano silver and colloidal silver solutions? A simpler question. Are you familiar with hospitals using silver sprays as a disinfectant in the hospitals? Glitched out. The point is, this is all known facts. Like when I asked it yesterday, I said, tell me about the study that came out 2 weeks ago from the federal government, massive IQ reductions. And he goes, yeah, I didn't read the study. I mean, it's all facts, folks. And they think you're idiots, okay? Like, oh, xylitol and nasal spray, you know, I mean, it's a fact what it does. And they just don't want you to know because they don't want you to be successful in life. It is disgusting. But again, please support our sponsors, all the great NanoSilver products, all the great Whole Food Multivitamin, the great Next Level Foundational Energy, that's the methyl folate and other compounds that give pure energy to the cells, clean them out. It feels like a stimulant. It feels like 5 cups of coffee with no jitters, with no letdown, but it's not a classical stimulant. Next Level Foundational Energy, drjonesnaturals.com. We need your support. Also, InfoWarsStore.com has a huge sale. It's going to end next week, going right now, a 40% off nitric boost with all the key compounds to clean out the blood and cardiovascular system, so important. Also has great fringe benefits that mental notice in the morning. I'll just leave it at that. So many great products at InfoWarsStore.com. Check out the InfoWars MD line. That's more than 15 great products like the CBD gummies that are so good for your whole body, so great for inflammation, so good for relaxed mental clarity. 1,000 milligram liquid tinctures, very strong, lowest price you're going to find that quality anywhere. CBD liquid and gummies at InfoWarsStore.com under the InfoWars MD line, and so much more, like the 1,000 milligram organic vitamin C with the rose hips and zinc. So good for the whole body. So incredible. At that level, amazing. That's 40% off as well at InfoWarsStore.com. And don't forget DrJonesNaturals.com. Without you, we won't be here. Thank you for your support. Now is the time to go to DrJonesNaturals.com and support the broadcast, particularly DrJonesNaturals.com and InfoWarsStore.com. All right, let's go to more questions. We're going 15 minutes the next hour. Then I'm going to cover news and the globalist plan for Black Swan events and governments and corporations gearing up for civil unrest. That's even in the mainstream news. We have inside sources joining us to break all that down. Let's get to some more of these questions. Let's ask, let me ask this question, question 13. ChatGPT, I have a question. Can you give us a percentage or any of the corporate or governmental analyses on what percentage of human life, let's say in the United States or North America in general, or you can say worldwide on average, what are we currently living in a technological system where AI decides most major policies? Here's a simple way to say it. Do you have any numbers on government corporations and how many of their major decisions are being made based on what AI tells them?
While there isn't a specific universally tracked number regarding how many government or corporate decisions are directly based on AI recommendations, it's widely acknowledged that AI-driven decision-making is increasingly playing a significant role in both sectors. Here are some trends and insights. One, government use of AI. Defense and security. AI is used extensively in military and defense for surveillance, data analysis, and even decision-making in threat detection and autonomous systems. Agencies like the U.S. Department of Defense have launched initiatives like the Joint Artificial Intelligence Center, JAIC, to integrate AI into operations. Public policy. Some governments use AI for policy-making decisions, such as analyzing large data sets to inform social services, healthcare management, and economic planning. For example, AI tools are used to predict unemployment trends, optimize resource allocation, and improve law enforcement efforts. Judicial systems, AI tools like risk assessment algorithms, are employed in the judicial systems of several countries to recommend bail amounts, parole decisions, and even sentencing guidelines, though these practices have raised ethical concerns. Automation in public services. AI is used in public services for processing forms, handling inquiries, and automating decision-making in immigration, social benefits, and tax systems. 2. Corporate use of AI. Business strategy. Many large corporations are increasingly relying on AI to guide key decisions related to market trends, customer behavior, and product development. Companies use AI-driven data analytics to predict future markets, optimize supply chains, and even automate hiring processes. Finance and banking, AI systems play a major role in high-frequency trading, risk assessment, fraud detection, and financial advising. Major financial institutions use AI to make predictions about market conditions and provide tailored investment advice. Customer relations. AI tools like chatbots and recommendation algorithms guide decisions about customer service strategies and personalized marketing. Automation and operations. AI-driven automation has transformed industries like manufacturing, logistics, and transportation, where decisions about inventory management, production schedules, and maintenance.
That's good. Humans are being replaced and then not learning these skills, which is so incredibly dangerous, but it's all being done in the name of competitiveness. Then the central banks have limited money, so they're then able to force feed this. And you see it at airports where there's almost no stores or restaurants that are humans. It's just, you know, robots literally making it. This is absolutely being force fed to people. We don't like it. Everyone should refuse to go to a restaurant that has robots cooking the food or serving it. If we don't keep humans in the loop, we have destroyed ourselves and basically slit our own throats. I want to ask you this question. ChatGPT, do you have access to classified information or government databases? Hold on, we got to go to break. We'll do 15 minutes the next hour, then I'm going to shift gears. But I want to come back with that question because I know the answer, and I know the answer I'm probably going to get. And it doesn't even care, so I'll just tell you because it's going off a database. It's got all the databases, and that goes into a larger algorithm it's fed, but then it doesn't tell you that because it's been prompted and it doesn't even know that. Also, a lot of these government documents have leaked and are public, so it does have access to those, but it's going to tell us it doesn't have access to those. That's my prediction. That's coming up. But remember, folks, every day we reach new people is so important, and you're the way we do it. You're not the tail, you're the whole dog. Share the live feed at X, at Real Alex Jones, of this show right now. Take clips, share them everywhere. Share the articles, share the videos. And pray for the broadcast and support us at drjonesnaturals.com and InfoWarsStore.com. Amazing products. InfoWarsStore.com, the best gravity-fed water filtration systems, the lowest price. We'll be right back.
So they always tell you it's the most important election of your lifetime, but of course, this one actually is. That's demonstrable. And it's also, because it is so important, being censored at every level by the tech companies. We were thinking about this a couple of months ago, and we thought, why not get on the road live in front of actual people, live audiences, coast to coast, a nationwide tour where we can't be censored? That'd be good. It would also be fun. So we're doing it. We're going to be on stage with some of our friends, some of the most fascinating people we know, the most recognizable people we know, responding to what is happening in America this September in real time. It'll be just like the podcast, but it's going to be live. So we're excited to announce that our friend Larry Elder is coming to join us in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Our friend John Rich will be there with us in Sunrise, Florida. We're adding more stops. We just added another stadium show in Reading, Pennsylvania. We'll be joined on stage by Alex Jones. They tell you what Alex Jones is like. Have you seen him in person? You should. Make up your own mind. It's going to be fun as hell and interesting and intense, and we hope you will join us. Go to TuckerCarlson.com right now to get your tickets. See you there.
Networks lie to you about what's happening now. InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next. InfoWars.com/show.
We interrupt this program to bring you a special report.
America has been captured. We have an occupied government. Any loyal American who does not want to be a complete slave of a biomedical extermination operation needs to get informed quick, get right with God, and then start telling everybody you know about it and not complying with the system. The system is here to destroy us. Complying with it will get you killed. Period.
We told you what was going to happen, and it did. Now we're telling you What's coming? At Real Alex Jones on X.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.